Please take your Bibles and let's stand as we turn in the Gospel according to Matthew to chapter 7. We're going to be looking at verses 13 and 14 today. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Amen. This is God's holy word. Those of you who listen to country music may have heard the Charlie Daniels song, "Somebody Was Praying for Me." If you haven't heard it, I'm going to rehearse a couple of the verses here. There is a refrain that goes after each one of these verses that says, "Somebody somewhere was praying for me." So just keep that in the back of your mind. It goes between each one of the words. Here's what he says. He starts out his song and says, "Well, the path to destruction's like an interstate highway. And like so many people, I took it for my way. Well, it's wide and it's smooth and it's easy to travel. And then all of a sudden, my life came unraveled." Obviously, Charlie Daniels has taken his inspiration for that song from this passage of Scripture that we're looking at here. And his description of the wide and easy way as an interstate highway is accurate. It's what's being portrayed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ tells us of two ways, two possible ways to live your life, two ways to follow. He tells of, first of all, the way not to go, which is the wide and easy way. Then he speaks of the way to go, the narrow way, which is hard. And the emphasis that we need to remember is truly there is only one way, and that is that narrow way through Christ. The easy way is the path to destruction. For the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. That word gate is found in both of these verses, and the word gate has to do with any kind of door. It's a door to a house. It's double doors like we have to the church. It would be a large entryway that might enter into a palace or a great open gate that would lead into a walled city. In the illustration that we're thinking about here, think about a toll road. Think about coming to a toll plaza and there are six or eight lanes leading into it, but you don't have to put any money in it. You just keep on going right straight through. It's the entrance to this wide, straight, long road. And lots of cars are traveling on this toll road. It's a wide interstate highway. The gate's wide. Many people can walk through it or travel through it abreast. There's a door that's been swung open. Just think for a minute about folks going to a concert and the doors being open and many people pressing through the doors, or to a football stadium for an important game and the gates are thrown open and all kinds of people press through at the same time. It's like an interstate highway. It's wide. It's easy. And all the roads lead in the same direction, very broadly from that direction. The way is a word that talks about a road. It's a road within a city, or it's a road between two cities. It's a highway. And this road that Jesus warns us against is broad. It's a broad highway. It's paved. It's smooth. It's easy to travel. Everybody's driving 65 miles an hour down this road. But there's a destination that nobody wants to even think about at the end of this road. The destination for this very broad path, this very broad road, is destruction. It's the word that Jesus uses. And he's not talking here just about physical death. Yes, that can be the end result. But he is talking specifically about eternal ruin in hell. Destruction. The end result of following this very broad way. That shouldn't surprise us that Jesus speaks this way. We saw in our study of the book of Proverbs that the same thing is taught in Proverbs chapter 16. For there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Men think this is the right way to go. This is the easy way to go. It doesn't take much effort at all. You get on it and you just roll. But the end is the way of death. That was eternal death. When we looked at that verse, we saw that what was in mind there was not just physical death, but eternal death and hell. It's not just the grave, but beyond the grave, it's eternal death and hell forever. In a vivid illustration, earlier in the book of Proverbs, the godly father speaks to his son, and he warns him of taking the very well-trodden path toward the harlot's house. This is Proverbs chapter 7. So he starts out by saying, say to wisdom, and telling his son, say to wisdom, you're my sister, and call insight your intimate friend to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. And then he begins to describe her. And then he gives this observation. He's looking out his window, and he sees this in verses 7 and 8. I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house. And so this house is well-traveled. It's a broad way, and there have been many who have gone on it. And he concludes the chapter by saying this, listen now, O sons, listen to me, and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for many a victim she has laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. And so, in Proverbs, there's this warning given, and it's the same warning that Jesus is giving here, that the wide, easy, well-trodden path is the way to destruction. That's the end result, that's the destination that so many choose. Look at all who follow it. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it by it are many. A crowd, a throng, a whole bunch of folks. It's a wide entryway to a broad, smooth highway that multitudes of people can easily find and travel on. That's what Jesus is saying. And they do to their eternal ruin. This illustration that Jesus uses of the easy way can describe all kinds of false ways of salvation. It can be used to speak of practically anything apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is all false ways that sinful men find and seek to follow to arrive or to come to gods of their own imaginations. It has to do with man's efforts, man's works, in coming to these false gods that men have made up. And so, it's so broad that any god will do. This gate to the afterlife is open to anyone. You can be a follower of Allah or Krishna or Buddha or Odin or Zeus or Baal or whoever. Doesn't matter. Any god will do if you're following this broad way. And anything that you want to do on this path you can do, because the heart of sinful man, I can imagine all sorts of things. And so this road truly is a road of self-indulgence. Yes, there are some false religions that have strict rules like Islam. But in that religion, all that is done to earn salvation from a false god. And that's what is seen here. But there are other religions that are part of this broad way that seem to have no rules whatsoever. Think of religious liberals today who say that anybody is saved, everybody is saved, it doesn't matter how you live. There is only one thing outlawed on this wide road, and that's a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ and his followers are not allowed on this path. They can go anywhere else, but they're not allowed on this broad road. So these all false roads have one destination in common, and that's hell. They end in destruction. They're easy to walk on. They're easy to travel on. But they go where no one should ever want to go. Jesus warns in Matthew chapter 18, if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. That's the easy way. Now let's talk about the hard way. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life. There is this other gate. It's a small gate. It's narrow. It's hard to find, and it's hard to go through. You squeeze through this gate with great difficulty. It's not easy to enter like the broad gate is. Only one person can go through it at a time. You may even have to turn sideways to do it. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his commentary on this, likens this narrow gate to a turnstile. All of us have been through those, and sometimes you have to turn sideways to go through that turnstile to get through. It's something that admits only one person at a time. And so what he says is, in order to be able to go through that, you have to strip off many things. Your desire for earthly goods, your unforgiving nature, your selfishness and pride and self-righteousness, all of those things have to be laid aside to enter through this narrow gate. And the way's hard. The way's hard, a word that means constricting or confining. It's a word that involves difficulty and trouble and persecution and suffering of hardship. As the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Paul's describing what the Christian life is like on this narrow way. And the point is, this way is difficult to find, difficult to enter, and difficult to follow. Unlike the great big toll road that goes forth from this wide toll plaza, think instead of a small gate that leads to a dirt road. You turn off of the main way, your car will just barely fit through the gate. And once you get on the other side, there are ruts and there are rocks, and you discover that you become bogged down from time to time and have to get out and push your car. You have to drive around boulders in the middle of the road, and sometimes the ruts are so deep that you're not sure that you'll get out. And there are twists and turns in this road. And so here you are as a Christian saying to the people who are traveling 65 miles an hour down this wide, smooth highway, that's the wrong way to go. Come over here and get on this dirt road that you can barely travel 3 miles an hour on. And it's bumpy, and it's rocky, and it's dirty. There's persecution. And yet that's the truth. Or another illustration. Those of you that have ever been hiking in the mountains, on occasion you might come to a place, let's imagine, where two cliff faces begin to grow closer and closer together, and there's a path that goes right between them. But when you reach that point, you know that you can't go through with your pack on. You have to lay the pack aside. You may have to take your coat off, and as you turn sideways and squeeze through, the buttons pop off your shirt. And you have to slide sideways through this narrow opening onto this narrow path. But when you get to the other side, and this is what Jesus is talking about, the vista opens up, and it's the most incredible thing you've ever seen in your life. It is life. It's eternal life. Following this path leads to genuine life, eternal life. It's not just good for you right now. It is the destination of heaven. It is the destination of eternal life. That is the end result. And notice who follows it. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. The question's often asked, will there be many who will be saved? And there's a twofold answer to that question. The Bible tells us that in the book of Revelation that there will be a vast number that no one can count surrounding the throne of God and the Lamb. A vast quantity. Revelation 7. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation and from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So there is this beautiful picture of the exalted, glorious, victorious Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and His throne being surrounded by a multitude of folks from all over who cannot be counted. That's one part of the answer. The other part of the answer is, as Jesus points out here, it may seem that in every generation, however, in comparison to those who follow the broad path, there are few in number who follow the narrow path. Because you see, the Bible tells us very clearly, only the elect will be saved. Many are called, Jesus says, but few are chosen. And the Bible teaches what we know to be remnant theology. In Romans chapter 9, it says, Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the sons of Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them will be saved. And in chapter 11, he says, so too at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. The elect will be saved. The remnant will be saved. And in each generation, it appears that they're few in number. And yet, when you add it all up at the end of time, no one can count the number that are there. And finally, notice we actually skipped over the beginning of verse 13. It's the important exhortation. There's only one way. There's the right gate. Enter by the narrow gate, Jesus says. Enter by the narrow gate. What's that mean? Well, it means it's extremely vital to choose the correct gate to enter through. I read the story about a man who was on his way to Oakland, California, who got on a plane to Auckland, New Zealand. Imagine his surprise when he got off and heard people not saying, dude, but g'day. Surprise. It makes a big difference as to which gate you go through to get where you're going. And so the illustration that Jesus gives is the illustration that there's only one way to God, that there's only one path that we can follow, and that there's only one entrance, and that is through faith in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The way to eternal life is narrow in that it is only through the Lord Jesus Christ and no one else. The Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 4 says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus' name is powerful. Jesus' name is exclusive. Jesus' name is the only name that brings eternal life. It brings eternal salvation to all who call upon Him. So Peter emphasizes that by saying that His is the only name under heaven, meaning throughout the whole earth. Search far and wide, there is no other name that brings eternal salvation. And further, that there's no other name among men, that is, in all of societies, in all of the tribes and nations on the face of the earth, there's not another one that can be found who is a Savior. Jesus alone is the Savior. Salvation comes through faith in Him and in Him alone. Jesus Himself said the same thing, didn't He? John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And He also spoke of being the only door to the sheep. In John 10, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So Jesus is the door. He's the narrow gate. And he is the way in which we travel to God. And that way's hard. The point is, the way is hard. You enter through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. But the Christian life involves not only that faith at the beginning and in the middle and at the very end, but it also involves sacrifice and it involves sanctification. The way is hard because it means that you must die to sin and self and live for God. It's hard because you are constantly at war with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it's hard because you and I are constantly subjected to trials and temptations and troubles all our lives long. That's what this world is all about. Those of you who have been studying J.C. Ryle's book remember that he pointed out in a quote from William Gurnall, the Christian in Complete Armor, that we are soldiers of the cross. We wear our armor constantly, and we cannot and do not dare take it off until the day we die. We're constantly on guard. We're constantly in battle. The robe of righteousness awaits us in heaven, but the armor is what we wear here on earth. There is a reward, however, that's beyond all comparison that Jesus mentions to us. The way is hard. And all of those who choose the easy way end up finding that though they may have the approval of men, they do not have the approval of God. And that easy way leads only to destruction. It leads to eternal punishment and separation from God. But all of us who enter by the narrow gate of Jesus Christ and walk in His ways find an unbelievable reward. Paul describes it to the Corinthians this way. 2 Corinthians 4. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things which are seen, but to the things which are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Folks, there's going to come a time when we stand on the shores of heaven and we look back on our lives and we say to ourselves, that seemed so hard while I was going through it, but now that I'm here, why did I doubt? Why did I fear? Why did I have such a struggle with this? That affliction that seemed so heavy was light and momentary, and the weight of glory is so tremendous. And the things that we look forward to, we can't yet see. They're unseen, Paul says. But they're eternal. Eternal in the heavens in Jesus Christ. And so the narrow road is the only road to take. The narrow gate is the only gate to enter through. And eternal life awaits us in Jesus Christ. Walk in that way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do struggle quite often, Lord, over all sorts of things that seem so heavy and so hard in this life. And yet, Father, we know that, as Paul says, those things are light and momentary. We have this road that's laid out before us, and it's hard to walk on, but yet the end result is the path that we want. It takes us to You. It leads to life eternal. Father, bless us to lay aside all things that would encumber us and hinder us, and bless us, Heavenly Father, by Your grace, to walk in the path of righteousness, to walk in that narrow way, to walk through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know, Father, that You will bring us to heaven. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.